It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, hello, folks. It's your old buddy, Luke Clayton. It is once again time for us to spend about 15 minutes and enjoy talking about the outdoors. If you like to hunt and fish, you have most definitely tuned in to the correct radio station this morning. We're going to do a fishing roundup in today's show and let you visit with some of the guides that make their living fishing and catching bass, crappie, and catfish on the area lakes. Now, today's show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website for the Dallas Safari Club is biggame.org. Also made possible by Sniper Hog Lights, and that website is sniperhawglights.com, and made possible by Icy Tech Coolers. The website is icey-tek.com. The toll-free number for Icy Tech Coolers is 855-472-6653. Folks, our first guest today is Mr. Seth Vanover. Seth is a regular on our show. He's been with us many times. He guides for catfish and crappie and bass on occasion down at Lake Fork. Good morning to you, Seth.
Good morning, Luke. How are you, sir?
I'm excellent. I'm sure glad to get you on with us and pick your brain a little bit. You know, Seth, right now is the time you were telling me, like, well, we talked a couple of days ago, the crappie, some are shallow, some are deep, but to really concentrate on catching crappie consistently, people do a lot better on the deeper structure than they do when they're lucky enough to catch them up in 3 feet of water, don't they?
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. If you have the time and a lot of energy,
yeah,
to take some energy and the resources to make your own crappie structure, it is so much better than having to go hunt and peck and find other things. You know, it's having your own stuff is very, very nice.
It
you
is.
Know where it is.
Yep.
You can pull right up there and catch you some slabs.
And that's something I've learned from you. You put some work into to making the structures. Give us an idea, folks, that might want to fix them up a crappie spot or two to consistently catch crappie. The one thing you want, I know, is a lot of little structure. In other words, little limbs or places like that that'll hold the bait. And I guess the whole key is attracting bait, and then the crappie are going to be there, right?
That's right. That is right. And from years and years of trial and error, I think I have finally figured out what has worked. It's working best for me. Out of all the stuff I've done, the material I use by far and away is working for me, and that's bamboo.
And that's not hard to come by. You need to keep your eyes open, but, you know, in North Texas, East Texas, it'll probably be a little bit more of it down in East Texas, but if you really look around, you'll see cane. You know, a lot of people call it cane, too, switch cane, right? Same stuff. Yeah.
Same stuff.
Same stuff. It grows in tall stalks, and when I was a kid, I used to make fishing poles out of it, you know?
But
you don't have to have that really long, 20-foot-long pieces necessarily, do you?
Well, it depends on what you're making.
Mm-hmm.
If you're making the vertical out of barrels and stuff like that, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
If you like making the horizontal ones, which I do in some circumstances, with the 20 footers and plus,
mm-hmm,
and a bunch of cinder blocks, they're nice to have those long ones to make a horizontal structure that lays on the bottom.
I'm with you. Well, your favorite, let's say we're going to make rig a hole up there and say 22 foot of water. Now, if you were to choose exactly what kind of switch cane or bamboo, we'll call it, whatever you're going to use, how long would you cut them and how would you keep them together so that they would be in a vertical position when you put them into water, Seth?
Well, I do holes a little different depending on where they're at, but as a rule, what I'm going to do, there's going to be 3 5-gallon buckets and 2 15-gallon buckets. And the reason for the 15-gallon buckets is they can hold more. And the way I structure these bamboo in the barrels, I drill holes on the side of the barrels and stick them through the holes. And it just gives you a little bit more surface area. You know, because I'm setting all these stuff up for clients,
mm-hmm,
not just me. I'd just set one or two out if it was just for
mm-hmm
me.
Right.
So I've got to make sure everybody in the boat has access to catch fish. So that's why I put out so many.
Seth, let me stop you right there. I think wrap my mind around this, and our listeners I know are thinking too. just say, for instance, you've got a 5-gallon bucket. Well, if you put all your cane or bamboo straight up vertically, it would just be sticking straight up when you put it down in the water. But you're cutting holes in the side of the bucket and then putting them at an angle, which will increase the diameter when it gets down under the water. I see what you're saying.
Yep.
And I know that was learned through, you know, many trial and errors.
Right? Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. So you've got your, so you've got your bucket. Roughly speaking, the bushy switch cane, about how many stalks would you stick in these holes in the bucket?
In a 5-gallon bucket, it's generally, I wouldn't put any more than about 7 or 8, depending mm-hmm. on how thick they are.
Right.
And because you don't want to, you got to have room for the concrete to get around everything and set up and grab it.
Mm-hmm.
Or otherwise, you're going to throw it in the water and you're just going to see your bamboo floating up.
Mm-hmm.
So just 7 or 8, and believe me, that is plenty.
That's enough.
And no more than about 8 foot high.
Okay. Now, that's 8 foot. They're going to be set at a slant, you know, at an angle. So that's 8 foot from the ground up to the top, right? Okay.
Right.
Very good point. And so you're going to be attracting fish that are from the bottom of the lake, the bottom 8 foot of the water column, approximately.
That's it.
That's it. And then you put them out, and now if when you're going to set these out, Seth, and I know down at Lake Fork you've got them scattered all over. You've got your routes that you run, because I've run your routes with you and caught a crappie on every one of them, you know. But if you're looking for a place to say, okay, I'm gonna got it built, I've got one, I'm going to go set out my one structure, what kind of bottom structure would you look for?
This time of year, I just set out 3 new ones yesterday, and they're all off of points, sometimes main lake points, sometimes secondary points, depending on the water depth. Now, because I have to keep in mind wind, everything else, access to it. There's a lot of things that factor into it from where I'm going, but just an average person wanting to do it, any point on a main lake, if you drop some structure down there, some bamboo, give it a little time, and this summer you'll be killing them.
You'll be catching them. Well, for instance, boat positioning is real key. I know a lot of times you'll stay on your trolling motor and keep your everybody right over these structures that may be out. But if a guy wanted to get innovative, and I've seen you do this too, is say the prevalent wind may maybe be, say, southwest. Well,
right.
Northeast of a big stump or something, you'll get out there maybe 25 feet, you know. And that way you can, a lot of times you can depend on tying up and keep, if there's a little wind, right? I mean, you can set them within reason of a stump or tree or something that you could tie to, right?
A lot of mine are set up that way where I can tie off, because the more I'm messing with my trolling motor, the less attention I can pay to the folks in the boat. So I try to, you know, structure my stuff to where I can tie the boat off on any wind.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the wind is, mm-hmm. I can tie the front and back off and keep everybody in the boat over where they need to be.
Excellent tips. Excellent. Well, Seth, down at Fork right now, let's get a little quick fishing update. Are you catching more of them deeper or more the shallow spawning crappie right now?
Well, the deep bite is coming around. The shallow, mm-hmm. the spawn is all but over.
Yep.
It's all but over. Here in about a week at the most, too. What I call the summer slaughter is upon us.
Yep. So that's when you're going to be concentrating on 15 to 25 foot, right?
That's it.
Okay.
You know, early morning we'll be a little shallower.
Uh-huh.
You know, midday we'll get out in 25 feet and whack them.
Follow them out. Well, Seth, let's do this. Let's leave your website, excuse me, and then a phone number where people can call you and talk. You know, there might be some points in this show that we didn't cover they like to visit with you about, or they may want to go fishing with you. So what's
sure.
your contact information, bud?
My website is lakeforkcatandcrappie.com, or you can reach me anytime at 903-736-4557.
Thank you, Seth, and we'll get you back again soon. How about it?
All right, Luke, thank you.
Well, folks, my intent was to get 3 or 4 different guides on today's show, but Seth Vanover had such interesting and informative information on making these crappie structures that I thought it best to spend a little time and let Seth go into detail telling you how he makes them. I can see a lot of you getting some concrete and 5-gallon buckets and switch cane or bamboo together, whatever you can get a hold of, and making some of these deep structures for crappie this summer. Now, up at Lake Levan, guide Billy Kilpatrick, I talked to Billy yesterday. The shad have started pulling into the banks in the early stage right now, and he caught 15 sand bass, white bass here yesterday morning, early. But pretty soon, actually within probably by this time next week, the shad are going to be in that warming water up next to the bank, and the sand bass are going to be coming in early every morning schooling. So if you're at Levan or any lake with a healthy population of white bass, that's a good way to catch them. Get you a cast net and throw it out early in the morning right up close to the boat ramps or wherever. The water warms up at night there, and there's a lot of shad in there. Get you some fresh shad. Rig it up. It's really simple. A split shot above a number two hook. Rig those shad on and throw them out there, and you can catch a bunch of white bass in a very short time. Up at Lake Texoma, got Larry Sparks, who's on our show many times, keeping everybody tuned in on the striper fishing. Larry says the bite is still going strong. They're catching a lot of stripers, not the great big ones, but they're catching a lot of them 2 to 3 pounds, up to about 8 and 9 right now. Live shad is working really well, fished along the Washita and the Red River ledges. Larry tells me a lot of the stripers, quite a few of them now, have returned from the rivers post-spawn, but you know, the striper spawn is not something that happens in a matter of 2 weeks or 3 weeks for that matter. It's like many species, it's drawn out over the course of a month or maybe longer. So some stripers are still making their run, their spawning run. Some are in post-spawn right now. Now, Sassy Shad baits, the 5-inch glow, he likes to dip those in the chartreuse glow color, the heads of them. And that's working good, too, for people that had rather fish artificials, working them around the edges and ledges where stripers like to hang up and stay and feed on shad. So if you like to live bait fish, shad are getting easier to catch right now. Of course, artificial baits, lures, or like Sassy Shad are always easier to fish with because you don't have to worry about rounding up the baits. I want to tell you about a fun place to go fishing that you may not know about, but it's Lake Crockett up near Honey Grove up in northeast Texas, not far from the Greenville area. Lake Crockett is jam-packed full of brim. A lot, you wouldn't believe the numbers of brim in there, sunfish. And you know, May is the month that sunfish spawn. You can go up there. There's no limit on sunfish. You can fill a cooler with them. Use a little thin blade fillet knife. You want a real thin blade. I like to fillet them. And you take a brim that's, 4 to 6 inches long. You can fillet two little fillets off of there that's about the size of a jumbo shrimp. And let me tell you, there's no better eating, to my way of thinking, than a freshly caught brim, especially if you take the time to fillet them. When brim or sunfish go on their nest, which is right now, they're just getting on, locking down on their nest, they're easy to see. Wear some polarized glasses and you'll look for dark spots on the bottom. Water, well, really 3 feet to 4 foot deep, as shallow as a foot and a half, but if you're in a boat, you need to fish water probably 3 or 4 foot deep. Wear your polarized glasses, look down in the water and you'll see the little dark spots, and as the spawn on the brim increases, as it goes along, these little shallow spots, these little shallow dark areas that are the beds, will increase in size and become one big bed. All you have to do is just drop, ease an anchor down into the water, cast over there with little bits of nightcrawler, crickets. If you like to fly rod fish, use a little green popping bug and cast it past the beds and work it back over slowly. You can catch them on a fly rod too. Folks, today's show has been made possible by Icy Tech Coolers. That website is icey-tek.com. The toll-free phone number for Icy Tech Coolers is 855-472-6653, and made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, biggame.org, and also Sniper Hog Lights. That's Sniper, H-A-W-G, Lights. com. Make sure and tune in this time next week. We'll have some more fun talking outdoors.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.